worship you, only you, Lord. And I will bow down before you, only you, Lord.
We worship you. Worship him with all your heart. God, yes, we thank you today, Lord. We worship you. Yes, Father God. You are awesome. You are holy and mighty and amazing. Thank you, Lord. We just worship you. Yes. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for the love. Thank you, Jesus.
When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart.
Yes, Jesus.
I'll bring you more than a song. Song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to heart of worship, and it's all
about you. worship you. We worship you this morning, Lord. We worship you. Lord, it's about you. It's all about you. The question, do we love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength? That is the question. Do we love your word? Do we love the truth? Are we willing to live for you? Are we willing to die for you? Are we willing to live and die for your truth? The truth you give. Only, Lord, you're the only one that gives us the truth. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And Lord, we just worship you today. We exalt you, Jesus, King of kings and Lord of lords, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, the one who died on the cross and rose from the dead, the God of the Bible, of the scriptures, the one true God. There is no other. And we worship you today. We exalt you today. And we ask you, Lord, to reveal yourself to everyone here, to those watching and listening. Reveal yourself to them in a powerful way. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Wow, we could do that one again real easy. Hallelujah. You may be seated this morning. Hallelujah. Wow. Good stuff. I love all those songs, Crystal. Excellent. Excellent. Hallelujah. You know, I've been debating this morning what we're going to get into, but it just keeps coming back to me again and again and again. So I hope you got your Bibles. We're going to go on a little journey today about the truth. The truth. You know, everybody thinks they have the truth, don't they? That's what's so wild. Even deceived people, even spiritually blind leaders of the blind, think they have the truth. Well, let's look and see what Jesus says about it, all right? Because if you don't serve him in truth, you're not serving him. That's how important it is. Going to go through a lot of scriptures today, but the first thing I want to look at, let's look at the well-known passage of scripture. Let's see, how many do I want? I could go to John 14:6, of course. I just quoted that one a minute ago. John 14:6, everybody turn there. This is probably one of the most important scriptures in the Bible because, can I just tell you how many Christians right now are falling away from the truth of God's word? They're falling away from the true Jesus of the Bible. They're getting into everything from universalism, universal salvation. There's Christians who, you know, I knew Christians that had a good solid foundation a long time ago. Good solid foundation, and now they believe that everyone's going to heaven no matter if they believe in Jesus or not, no matter if they ever confess Jesus as Lord, regardless of whether they believe the word of God or if they live in sin. It's this, you know what? Jesus died for everybody, so everybody's going to heaven. That's one of the big lies being told right now. And if you'll tell that as a Christian, man, the world will love you. Man, I'll tell you what, even the Hindus, the Buddhists, the Muslims, even the angry liberals, they will love you, right? But that's not what this Bible says. Jesus was very clear, and the disciples were very clear. And you got to remember this about the apostles. All of them laid down their lives for this truth. They were willing to be beaten, put in prison, and then ultimately suffer martyrdom. I mean, the apostle Peter was crucified upside down. He requested that because he said he wasn't worthy to be crucified in the same manner the Lord was. Now, think about that. They were beaten. Think about Paul. Some of us don't comprehend. The apostle Paul received 39 stripes on his back because they wouldn't give 40 because they were afraid of going over that. But the apostle Paul was whipped the same way Jesus was, 5 different times. Paul said he was beaten with rods, stoned to death. disciples gathered around him and prayed for him and raised him from the dead. And we can't hardly live for Jesus in America. We're afraid to talk to somebody at the grocery store about Jesus. It's sad, isn't it? You want to know why America's about to collapse? It really rests upon the shoulders of the church in America. Because we have become so weak, so deceived, so in error. We don't understand sacrifice. We don't understand the willingness to suffer. We don't understand the willingness to suffer persecution and loss. And I'm wondering how many in America are going to be able to stand when it gets worse, as it's going to very shortly, y'all. Very shortly, things are going to take another turn. And the persecution of Christians, and I'm talking about the Christians who will walk in truth. The Christians who won't walk in truth are not going to be persecuted because they're going to go along with the system. They're already doing it. Line up and get your DNA-altering vaccine in the church. There's a lot of people going to run get the vaccine because Nick Saban just said to go get it. They're talking about how much money do we need to give people to go get their mRNA gene editing technology. And I'm sitting here going, Christians can't even stand up and go no to this system. Oh, I might lose my job. Oh, I might lose some friends. Oh, I might lose some family members. Oh, I might be separated from their company. And I think about what he says in Luke, what Jesus said. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and hate you and persecute you and separate you from their company. Your reward is great in heaven. But Christians today, no, everybody, we got to have everybody to love us and accept us, and we got to keep the peace no matter what. Can I just tell you right now, if you're going to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ in truth, the world and most of the worldly Christians will hate you. You know, Mr. Bucko, he's full of joy. Mr. Bucko's full of joy, and he just wished everybody loved each other. That's a wonderful thing. But he got a little taste of a local pastor who basically expressed his disdain for me. And this guy's a well-known Baptist leader in this town, and he hates me. I mean, not even enough he could hide it in public. But why? I'll tell you why. Because he does not walk in truth. And he hates anybody that exposes the fact that he doesn't walk in truth. Now, I don't hate him. My prayer for him is that God will open his Pharisee blind eyes and he'll start walking in the truth of God's word. What he walks in is religion. Remember this, folks. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes of Jesus' day knew the scriptures better than anyone else. And yet when the prophesied Messiah stepped on the scene, who was the way, the truth, and the life, they were blinded by their religion. They were blinded by the pride of their knowledge and what they thought was true and their doctrines and their laws and their fence laws and everything else. And they could not see the very thing that the scriptures foretold was standing in front of them. And we have the same group of people today who call themselves Christians. They pastor churches. They graduated from seminary. They have PhDs and DDs and, you know, all of the Ds. And let me tell you this. You know, I'm all for education. That's fine. But were you educated in the truth? That's the problem. You can learn things, but was it true? And the Bible is clear. Jesus said he is the truth. Now, let me tell you, show you something else that the Bible says about Jesus. Go to back up in the Gospel of John there. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. So Jesus is declaring he is the truth, right? And before you turn, wait, hold on, before you turn back to John 1, same chapter 14, let's just keep reading this part. Let's jump over to verse 15, just real quickly. Jesus said this. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Who's the Holy Spirit called here? Even the Spirit of truth. Y'all see that? Can somebody say, the Holy Spirit, say that, is the Spirit of truth? Now, if you're following him, where is he going to be leading you? And if you're not walking in the truth, then who's leading you? It's real simple. It doesn't matter if you're a pastor or you have a PhD in theology or you're a seminary professor. If you're not walking in the truth of the Scriptures, and I'm talking about the rightly divided, in context, proper grammar, proper historical context, I'm talking about the rightly divided, studied out Word of God. If you're not walking in that, then you are being led astray by the deceiver. I don't care if you go to church every Sunday. I don't care if you're baptized, sprinkled. You know, I don't care if you got 15 choir robes. I knew a guy, I worked with a guy that had the voice of an angel and sang in church every Sunday and was drunk every Friday and Saturday night. And ran his car into a tree one Saturday night, drunk as a skunk, as we say here in the South. I don't know why skunks get drunk, but I guess there are a bunch of drunkards out there. That's why they smell so bad. I don't know. But Barry ran his truck into a tree and killed himself. Completely, you know, wasted drunk, driving his car. I was with his son when he got the phone call that his father was killed. And I witnessed to that man like 2 weeks before he died and tried, and I got him finally to admit that he was not born again. He had never had a real born again experience, but he was a church goer. They loved him. He sang specials in church. He was, you know, he was using his gift for the Lord, but he was unsaved. He was not serving the Lord in truth. He wasn't even born again. And he died, and he didn't go to heaven. Because I tried to get him to pray with me and accept Jesus as his Lord and Savior, and he wouldn't do it. You know why? Because alcohol was his god. Drunkenness was his mistress. He wouldn't turn loose of that. And I told him, the Bible is clear. Galatians 5, drunkards will not inherit the kingdom of God. I told him, Barry, you got to repent. We worked together on a construction job. Barry, you got to repent. You got to give your life to Jesus. You got to be born again. You got to know that Jesus has come into you and your sins have been washed away. And you have to repent. I mean, you have to turn away from the alcohol and the drunkenness, the partying and that lifestyle. Going to church and singing in the choir and having everybody going, oh, how wonderful you are when you're singing in church, will not save you, did not save him. So he served the Lord. He walked with the Lord, but he didn't walk with the Lord in truth. This is a huge problem, you guys. Jesus told the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, you are the blind leading the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both fall into the ditch. Do you not think we have the blind leading the blind today? When Jesus said in the last days deception would be worse than any time in history, that there would never be a time like it, that it would be so bad. It's now. It's happening right now. And they smile at us. But let me tell you, the more you walk with Jesus in truth and in righteousness, the more not only this lost world's going to hate you, but the lukewarm, blind church people are going to hate you even more. They are going to turn on you. They are going to betray you. And some of them that will be your family members. You just don't know. They're going to turn you in. Get ready down the road when they mandate these vaccines that are not really vaccines. When they mandate and you refuse, let me tell you who's going to turn you in to the authorities. Your former church member friends. That's who. Mark my word. Mark it down. The Spirit of truth. Look at what he said. Let me read verse 17 again. Jesus said, I'm going to give you another comforter. He said, even the Spirit of truth, listen to this, whom the world cannot receive. Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while. The world seeth me no more, but you see me. Because I live, you shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Now I want you to flip over to this. I want you to go to John 17. John 17. Somebody say, this is good stuff. I'm reading the red. I'm reading the red part here. There's people out there, there's Christians out there right now said that this doesn't apply to us. Only what Paul wrote. I'm not joking you. There's some psychotic nonsense out there. Let's read this. Let's see, where shall we start here? Oh, let's start reading. Let's just read verse 17. I'll just start there. That's the main verse I want you to get. Jesus is praying for his disciples, for his apostles, and this is part of his prayer. Everybody needs to pay attention, close attention to this. Sanctify them, that means make them holy. Set them apart, make them different from the world. Sanctify them or cleanse them through thy truth. What is the truth? Thy word is truth. That's probably one of the most important verses in the Bible. Sanctify them through thy word, or through the truth. Your word is truth. Everybody look at me right here. This book right here, Genesis to Malachi, Matthew to Revelation, is the truth. I don't care what the liberal theologians say. I don't care what the backslidden fallen Christians say. I don't care what the Christian homosexuals say. I don't care what anybody else says, that it's always just the words of men. That's it. Or, well, not all of it is God's word. Not all of it's the truth. Let me just go on and say it right now, if that's what you believe, you are not a Christian. You are fooled. You are deceived. Because one of the first revelations as a Christian that the Holy Spirit gives you is that this book is the God-breathed word of God that he inspired and moved men to write down his words exactly the way he wanted it written down. And that Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And he told us through his apostles, and directly he told us over and over again, that this right here is his word. And don't tell me you believe in a creator that can make everything that we see and know, and that he can make the human eye, and he can make the human heart, and he can make our nervous system, and he could create us and create all the animals and all the plants and all everything we see, the earth, the firmament, the stars, the sun, the moon, that he could do all that, but he somehow was unable to give us a book that was totally correct, true, and accurate, and without error. If you are that kind of person, you are lost. You are deceived. You are not listening to the Holy Spirit. Because let me tell you right now, the Spirit of truth will always direct you back to the Word of God, which is the truth. He's going to teach you the truth. He's going to lead you to the truth. And if you're following him, you're always going to honor and believe and accept what this book says about anything. Not part of it, all of it. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. What is doctrine? We get all hung up. Oh, I don't like doctrine. Doctrine is simply systematic study of truth. That's all it is. And you can have false doctrine and you can have true doctrine. But all doctrine means is you systematically study a subject or some issue through the Bible from Genesis to the maps. But let me tell you something. I don't have to know everything. I don't have to know every Hebrew word and Greek word. I can tell you one thing I do have to know. If the Bible says it as a Christian, if I'm a born-again Christian who has the Spirit of truth in me, I accept his word as truth. And the falling away that we're seeing is the falling away from the Word of God, from the truth of God. You cannot walk with Jesus and walk against the Word of God. You can't do it. I don't get, well, oh, I pray to Jesus, but I don't believe the Bible. Well, you're not praying to the Jesus of the Bible. You found another Jesus, another gospel, and you're listening to another spirit. It's not the Spirit of God. It's the demon spirits. Every word is inspired by God. It's breathed by God. It says, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. These are men who saw Jesus, who talked to Jesus. The Old Testament prophets, many of them, it says, saw him long before he came as a man. What did he say, Abraham? He said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. True prophets see the future. True prophets and apostles have seen Jesus. He appears to them. He manifests himself to them. They are eyewitnesses. What we have here in this book, both Old Testament and New, are eyewitnesses. Moses, Joshua, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. God appeared to them. God appeared to Solomon twice. And somehow we think we know better than them. Now, literally college, seminary professors say things like this. Well, like my former pastor, Dr. Larry Lee, he went to Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Fort Worth, Texas. You know, what, the premier Baptist university, right? This is the early 70s, or late 60s, early 70s. You know what he said? He said they're in there studying in a class at the top Baptist seminary in the world. And he says they're studying Genesis, and the professor says, well, the first 11 chapters of Genesis are a true myth, meaning that the theological implications are true, but there never was a man named Noah, never was a man named Adam. Basically, it's just a mythical story. So Dr. Larry Lee, he wasn't a doctor at the time, but he raised his hand. He goes, of course, I was popular as a bulldog at a cat convention. He said, but I raised my hand and I said, well, Jesus thought they were real. Paul thought they were real. And the professor said, they just didn't have the information we have today. And you wonder why these churches are dead, powerless, deny the Holy Spirit, reject the Holy Spirit, reject the gifts of the Holy Spirit, believe nonsense like you're once saved, always saved, no matter how you live. You wonder why they're in error? Because that's who taught them. That's the professors that taught them. And that was in the late 60s and early 70s. Can you imagine how bad it is now? I remember in the late 80s when I was seeking God and wanted to go to Bible school, to seminary. And God told me over and over again, no. But Lord, I want to go to this one. No. And I even went and visited some of them. Well, Lord, I'll go to this one. No. And finally, I just sat down and said, okay, God. He said, I will teach you my way, not their way. That was in the 80s. I am so glad that I listened. I found out that you can actually study the Bible yourself. That you didn't need a theologian to confuse you, to deceive you, to go, well, it really doesn't mean that anymore. And you know what? That goes for everything. Creation. I mean, really, come on, folks. Do we believe that nothing exploded and made everything? Do we believe we climbed out of the primordial soup and became some kind of slithering thing in the mud and the muck that ultimately became a fish and then grew some legs and then became some kind of weird reptilian and then transformed into a monkey and then somehow that monkey transforms into a human being over millions and millions of years? And yeah, these people that teach us, yeah, they were there. They know, right? They saw it. And if there was millions and millions of years of this transition from monkey to man, where are the millions and millions and millions and millions of fossils record? Doesn't exist. So think about this. That's what science says. Right now, everybody's bowing down. The religion of the white coats. With the religion of the white coats. Coats and the clipboard people. Bow down to them. Tell me your stories of the monkey man. Tell me your stories of how nothing exploded and created everything in order and perfect winning of the lottery over and over again to make it. Let me worship you because science is now the new religion. Follow the science. Love the science. I'm going to tell you right now. You better love Jesus, and you better love the Word, because I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care what they call it, science. If that science contradicts what this book says, they are wrong. And that's another reason they hate us, because we're not fooled by their white coats and clipboards. No. The earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, it's all just the way God said it is, right here. The firmament is just what he said it was. I don't care what Danny Faulkner says. If y'all don't know who he is, you can go find out on your own. He's a Christian astronomer, right? Basically, he's a NASA fanboy. Y'all say, well, we get pictures from NASA. No, you don't. You get artwork. But everything's a lie, folks. Listen, When the Bible talks about Satan, it was going to go in Revelation 12, Satan deceives the whole world, right? And Revelation 12 is about the end. It's about the end. It says we have basically around Revelation 12, you got about 3.5 years left before Jesus returned. And he says Satan has deceived the whole world. They're all deceived, folks. The world is deceived. They think CNN and MSNBC is telling the truth. I mean, how foolish can you be? You can play CNN stories where they tell you one thing one day and exact opposite the next. And I'm telling you, we got a bunch of people like this. Oh, CNN said, CNN, CNN. I just saw an article. CNN's lost like 30% of its audience since Trump went out of office because that's all they had was Trump bashing. That was it. Now people are like, I'm not interested. That's a mess out there. Well, we got churches right now. Take the vaccine. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Change your God-given DNA. You say, oh, well, Pastor Dean, CNN told me that it doesn't change your DNA. Fauci told me it doesn't change your DNA. And I just listened to the woman who was the co-inventor of CRISPR-Cas9, the gene editing technology. You can watch a 10-minute video of her TED Talk, and she tells you in 2015 that they're going to use this technology and mRNA to fight viruses, to change your DNA, to create enhanced human beings and even designer babies. She tells you this. She's the inventor of it. The technology that they're using now with the Moderna vaccine and with the Pfizer vaccine, she's telling you, she told you in 2015. But guess what? I say this, and I'm going to give this video, will probably get taken down from YouTube. Because I'm saying what the inventor of CRISPR-Cas9 gene editing technology, I'm saying exactly what she says, word for word. I could play the video right now. And yet the world goes, give me the vaccine to save me from a virus that 99.9% of people survive. Edit my DNA, please. Make my DNA become a COVID-19 producer. And the world goes, give it to me. Shot one, shot two, please. I'll even take boosters. So I can be with people who hate me. It's insane. The world is insane right now. Let me show you some scriptures here. Is that all right? Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. So the word of God is truth, right? Y'all with me on that? So you got to serve Jesus according to the word of God, according to the Bible. Now I want you to go with me. Go with me to, we're just going to go through quite a few scriptures. Go to Psalm 15. This is one of my favorites. In fact, this is the one the Lord kept laying on my mind this morning. Just kept coming back again and again and again. Psalm 15, verse 1. Listen to this. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Basically, who's going to be with the Lord? Who's going to dwell with the Lord? It says, he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. Truth. Y'all see that? Joshua 24:14. Let's put that one up. Joshua 24:14. Y'all turn there. I told you we're going to be turning. Here we go. 24:14, Joshua said, now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Basically, put away your idols, put away your sin, serve the Lord in righteousness and in what? Sincerity and truth. You see that? What is the truth again? The Word of God. Let's keep going. Y'all don't mind, do you? 1 Samuel 12, 24. I'll try to slow down so y'all can turn there. I'm cheating right now. 1 Samuel 12, 24. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. I want to read that first part again. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he has done for you. Come on now. He's saying consider. For us here in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, what has Jesus? Jesus, God in the flesh, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, God Almighty takes on a human body, lives a sinless, perfect life, and then allows himself to be beaten, spit upon, his beard pulled out, a crown of thorns pushed into his skull, and allows himself to be nailed to a cross to pay the penalty for your sins and my sins. Tell me something right now. There is nothing greater than the blood of God being shed for the sins of man and his resurrection from the dead and him saying, this is the way out of your sin. This is the way out of eternal damnation. This is the way out of this whole evil system. Consider, serve the Lord, fear the Lord, serve him in truth. Serve him in the choir, serve him in, no, serve him in truth first. What is the truth? Come on, let me hear. What is the truth? Not Baptist denomination truth, not Presbyterian denomination truth, not Assembly of God denomination truth. You hear what I'm saying? Not Calvary Chapel. They're still a bunch of pre-tribbers. You get what I'm saying? Calvary Chapel. Did I say that right? I don't know what I said. I'm tired. Let's keep going. Y'all ready? There's so many. I'm so sick of, listen, you know why there's denominations? Can I explain this to you? Let me tell you what. Let's just take the Baptist church for a second. Good foundation, good start, good beginning. Fiery revival, Cane Ridge revival stuff, right? People were getting saved, born again. Powerful, right? But at some point, and you know what? The Baptists have been very good at preaching for over the years. Now, they're not as good as now as they used to be. But of preaching salvation. Give your life to Jesus. This is how you get saved, right? Believe the gospel. Walk with Jesus. I mean, that was what they were good at. All right? But at some point, and you see, even the beginning of the Baptist church and those revivals in Kentucky and Tennessee, even there, the power of God was falling. People were falling out. People were speaking in tongues. I mean, there was just stuff happening. But at some point, the Baptist church said, nah, that's not for today. And so what happens is a church gets the truth. That's how denomination starts. God moves. People get saved. They establish a church or a denomination, a group of churches. And then they finally say, well, we have this truth, but this is where we stop. And God's trying to take them to the next truth, and they say no. So then another group of people come on, and they say, well, we got this truth. Why aren't y'all going to this one? Here's what the Word says about this. We're not going there. We don't believe that. So the next group goes and says, well, we're going to go to this truth now. And then that's where they stop. So you got your second denomination. You get what I'm saying? It's all about stopping. And we're never to stop. We're to keep learning and growing and accepting what God's Word says. I'm seeking God right now. Lord, show me what I don't know. Lead me into your truth. Open my eyes to things in your word that maybe I haven't seen, that I don't understand, or maybe that I was taught wrong about by other churches. We should always have that. Lead me, Holy Spirit, into the truth. Because if you sit back and think, I have all truth, then you're a denomination. You've created your own denomination. I stop right here. I know all I need to know. I'm good. And this is not what we're supposed to do. Now, granted, there are foundational biblical doctrines, truths, that once you get them, they don't change. Like I gave you guys the foundation, the doctrine of repentance last week. That's not going to change. But are the things we can learn? Yeah, oh yeah, there's more scriptures we can learn. We can learn how to better work that out in our lives. We can learn how better walk in that. We should never stop. So I'm not trying to be mean to these denominations. They got a lot of good people in them. But I have to tell the truth. A lot of them just said, mm-mm. And here's the problem. Whenever you say no to God, and you say, I'm not going any further, then you've set yourself up to be deceived. Because the moment you say, anytime you say no to God, things are going to get worse for you. Mark it down. I've been there and done that. I've been a Jonah. Jonah said no. He said, go to Nineveh. You're going to preach what I tell you to preach to Nineveh. And Jonah said, nope, not going. Nineveh's that way. I'm going this way. And if you read the book of Jonah, it says Jonah from that point went down to Tarshish. Then he went down into the ship. And then he went down into the bottom of the sea until he finally had seaweed wrapped around his head and the stomach of the great fish and said, you know what? I'm in hell. Lord, I'll go do what you want me to do. Please let me go. I'll do what you want me to do. And so you have the first prophet that was vomited out on a beach somewhere. But see, whenever you say no, I'm not going any further. I'm not going to do what you say. I'm not going into the truth any further. That's it. Oh, boy. It will not go well for you. Let's go to Psalm 33. He's a Freemason. I have to do that. At least for Carl. Hang on a second. What's so funny? I told the guys this last night. What's so funny is people are going on my YouTube channel now, and there'll be one thumbs down. You know, there'll be hundreds of thumbs up. There'll be one thumbs down, and somebody said the other day, that must be Carl. And then they said, love you, Carl. Love you, Carl. We're praying you get out of that demonic deception called Calvinism, Carl, and walk with the Lord in truth. Psalm 33:4. For the word of the Lord, what is? The word of the Lord. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. God is all about the truth, folks. If there's any smidge of deception, if there's any lie, if there's any bit of deceit or guile in it, it is not him. You want to know why God, the anointing, is not on a lot of Christians? Because the anointing of the Holy Spirit, he's the Spirit of truth, and he's not going to anoint your deception. He's not going to anoint the fact you walk in deception. Oh, say amen or oh me. Psalm 111, verse 8. About the statutes and the ordinances and the laws of the Lord. What does it say here? They stand fast forever. God's words will be forever, right? Heaven and Jesus said it. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. So the word of the Lord is forever. The scriptures are forever. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. We could do this all day, and I am probably going to do it for a minute. Let's keep going. Psalm 145, verse 18. This is one of my favorites right here. You really need to, this is one you need to memorize. Right here. Psalm 145, verse 18. The Lord is nigh or near unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. Do you see that? You see, I remember when I called upon him in 1987, when I was living in sin and depression and darkness and evil, and God convicted me of my sin. And the truth, the Holy Spirit just made it all true to me. I didn't have to have a, nobody, there wasn't a person standing there telling me everything that I needed to do. I knew. Because the Holy Spirit saying, son, you got to stop your sexual immorality, your drunkenness, your drug use, your anger, your violence, all this stuff you gotta let go of, and you gotta follow me. And so when I called upon him for forgiveness, and when the Lord said this to me, he said, son, because I'd been saved in that Baptist church down the road when I was young, but the Lord spoke to me. First time I ever heard his voice clear, like words, not like you hear me, but inside of me it was loud and clear. And he said, son, you can have everything the world has to offer and go to hell, or you can surrender your life to me and live forever. Now, this was the Spirit of God talking to me. And at this time, you know, I had the modeling contract. I had just done the screen test for All My Children, One Life to Live, all the soap operas. I just, after the screen test, got the phone call to be in Die Hard 1. I mean, I was about to have everything the world had to offer me. I was moving to Hollywood, and here we go. And the Lord, and I saw all that. I mean, I was only working in Arkansas for the summer, and then I was coming back home and packing my stuff and going to L.A. I thank God he intervened then. Because, folks, I only knew one speed. And you put money, lots of money, and fame, and put me in Hollywood, I would have burned out quick. Because I only knew all the way. And they would have used me up and spit me out. I'd have been a dead man. And God intervened and said, son, you can have everything the world has to offer and go to hell. You surrender your life to me and live forever. And I said right then and there, I knew what that meant. To serve the Lord in righteousness and truth, I knew that was all done. Goodbye to that life. Goodbye even, I know that they probably thought I was crazy. I never called them back. I never called back the agency that I signed with. Never called them back. Goodbye. Because when you walk with the Lord in truth, you leave all that. It becomes all about Jesus. It becomes all about what he wants. It becomes all about what this word says. It's not about the world anymore. I'm not here to serve the world. I'm not here to make the world happy. I'm not here to make the world love me. I'm not here to make lukewarm Christians love me. In fact, they're supposed to hate my guts. And I'm glad you do, because that means I'm under your skin. I'm living rent-free in your mind. You know, if you go to the book of Acts, there was a lawyer, Tertullian, that basically called Paul. He said, Paul is a plague. Well, what Paul was a Christian disease, is what he said. He said, everywhere he goes, he infects people with this Christianity. Let me ask you something. Are you a Christian disease? Do you infect people? Do you change people? You ought to be in people's. Man, let me tell you. You ought to be. If the anointing of God's on you and you speak the truth, you will be hated by people who don't walk in the truth, especially the ones that think they do. I mean, I'm telling you, it'll be real, real powerful hate. Christians can hate like nobody else. They'll be the first ones, too. You say, oh, you hate me. Oh, I don't hate anybody. Hate's a strong word, brother. No, you hate. Let me tell you what hate, the definition of hate in the Greek, it means to love less than you should. Ooh. And if you hate your brother, you are a murderer, and you, eternal life is not abiding in you, according to 1 John 3. So these people that hate me, like Carl, I hope they stop it. But why do they hate me? Because I am not afraid to tell them, you are deceived. You are not serving the Lord in truth. You are serving John Calvin, not Bible. You follow John Calvin. A lot of you don't know, John Calvin, the famous reformer, had people burned at the stake who disagreed with him and never repented over it. Now, let me ask you a question. If y'all got news, I mean, look, remember what happened to Michael Vick? If y'all got news that Pastor Dean tied one of his dogs to a stake in the backyard and burned them alive, would you set foot in this church ever again? No, that's over a dog. John Calvin burned people at the stake, beat people in Geneva, imprisoned people who didn't agree with his Calvinist theology. And you know what Jesus said? The day will come. And you mark that Calvin did it. The Roman Catholic Church has done it. And the lukewarm Church of America will do it. But Jesus said this in John 16. He said, the day will come that those who kill you will say, God's leading them to do that. And he said, this they will do because they have not known me or my Father. They will say, God is having me do this. Let me tell you right now what's coming. They're going to want to get rid of us because they're going to be like, you're endangering the rest of us because you're a carrier. Well, I don't feel like I'm a carrier. I feel pretty good. No, you're sick. I feel fine. No, you're sick. Pow! We got to get rid of you. Y'all laugh. It's coming. We ought to play the trailer of Gray State. Why don't we get that queued up? Y'all need to see Gray State because it's happening. I played this a few years ago, but we have a lot of new people now. This was a movie that was going to come out. And the guy who was producing the movie, basically, him and his whole family got killed, got murdered. Now go ahead and cue up Gray State. Let's get an idea of what's coming to you right now. Children, if you might want to hide their eyes. You got it yet? I don't know why. I just feel like I'm supposed to play this for y'all. Huh? It's 2.5 minutes, I think. It's just a trailer. It's the trailer for Gray State that never got finished because people died trying to make this movie. And make sure the volume's up so they can hear it. But this is what is upon America right here.
What is Gray State?
This is not it. The trailer. Maybe they're going to play it.
From every enemy of the state!
Gray State is less a movie than it is a warning.
Just the trailer. Yeah, well. For those that you didn't hear that, Jordan says, it said trailer. I was deceived. Oh, I love our church. I just love it. You know what? Because we're serious about following the Lord, but we can also laugh and have joy. Y'all let me know when you get it. I'm going to read a few more for you real quick. The Lord, I love that. Psalm 145:18. The Lord is nigh unto them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. It's one of my favorites. In Matthew 22:16, the disciples, I mean, some of the Pharisees came and said, "We know you teach the way of God in truth." I mean, even his enemies admitted, Jesus' enemies admitted, "You teach the way of God in truth." John 4:23 and 24, "But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth." See, it's not enough just to worship God. You say, "I worship God." But do you worship God in spirit and in truth? And what is the truth? The Word. How many of you know, let me say this. We're talking about worshiping God in spirit and in truth. How many of you know the Bible says, and it's not a, these are not suggestions, that part of worship is to raise your hands. You know that that's biblical? Another part of worship is to bow down, literally bow down. That's part of worship. Do you know there's a word in worship for shout? You hear me shouting in here. You know why? I can't hold it in. You know, after I tore my Achilles, I'm not good at dancing anymore, but I can shout. Amen. I remember we used to go to Brownsville Revival. They used to have to tell people when the music start, man, people start jumping, dancing everywhere. And people think that's strange in church, but that's normal worship. But they had to tell them in Brownsville on the balcony, a thousand people hopping at the same time was starting to take the balcony down. It's like, okay, if you want, they would tell them in the announcements, if you need to jump and dance, come down here to the main floor, just don't do it in the balcony. That was a good problem to have. Folks, Fire and Grace Church, we got a long way to go. We're still a little stiff, all right, when it comes to worship. But worship him in spirit and in truth. All right, here's Grace State. Now, why am I playing this? I remember this concept trailer came out maybe, what, 10 years ago? Maybe 9, 8 years ago? I don't know. But this is what's upon us. Watch this. Sit right by us.
Things were.
That's their plans for us, y'all. Why do you think this guy making this movie and him and his whole family got killed? Of course, they said he shot his family and shot himself. No, he didn't. What you didn't notice is the guy in the white at the end, this is probably the main part that got him killed. The guy at the white standing by the guillotine. And listen, the guillotines will be pulled out. I'm going to tell you now. Christians will be beheaded. Let me tell you what it says in Revelation 20. Christians will be beheaded because of what? Let me tell you what it is. Because of the word of God. Their testimony for the word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. It says we will be beheaded. And the guy at the end with the white suit who's standing there with the guillotine, he had on a Masonic apron. That got him killed. All right, that's enough. Yeah, and guess what? Your Freemasons, your high-level ones, 32nd, 33rd degrees, they're going to be working. They're working full-on with these people. Every community has a bunch of witches. Satanic covens are going to join with them. The deep state, that is, most of them are Luciferian Satanists, are going to join with them. And let me tell you what it's over. It's over truth. Listen, you want to know, now, I mean, I'm on a 7-day Facebook ban because I posted the Capital Journal. You know, Capital Journal's the news thing. What is it? The local public broadcasting news show that's in the state house. So they published an article that Alabama said it passes yoga. They make yoga legal to be in schools, right? Which it's been illegal in our state to be taught in school since 93. And a friend of mine was a key guy fighting that and made sure that that did not happen. Okay? And I remember that. Well, so I commented and I said, yoga is part of Hinduism. It is a religious practice. I said, every bow in yoga is a bow to the sun god, which is why most gurus teach that it's to be done at sunrise in the morning facing the east. And I said, it's religion. Now, this is all I said. It said it's religion. I said it's part of the New World Order agenda. I said, but let me say this. If our legislators, I said, think of the backlash if our legislators in Alabama put forth a bill to have Christian worship services and prayer meetings in schools. I said, what a clown show we have. 7-day ban for that post. Now, think about this. I've written an entire book, The Polluted Church from Rome to Kansas City. I wrote that book in 2011, published it in 2012. The whole book is about how Eastern religion, Hinduism and Buddhism, has crept into the West and the Western world and primarily the church, right? So I have a Facebook page for just the Polluted Church book. Never been banned. I've written about the New World Order, yoga, all the false religions in the world. I've for years on Facebook. But let me put up Dean Odle for governor, and I have already had 3 bans of things that were absolutely the truth. Now, why am I bringing this up? Because right now, the enemy of this whole system is anything that's the truth. Now they're trying to shut down any truth. Why? Because truth is powerful. I remember hearing this saying, I don't remember it came from, but truth crushed underfoot will rise again, but a lie wounded will fall. That's why they can't even let us wound their lies. They can't let us even speak anything true on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. You start speaking something that's true about their lies, they know it all crumbles. It all falls apart. Look, with all the censorship about the vaccines, Alabamians and a lot of people across the country finally said, nah, we're done. Kay Ivey the other day, our clueless governor, was like, oh, come on, you got to come take the vaccine. They're going to spoil. We're going to have to send them back. Because people said, we're done. We're done with them. Alabama actually leads. You know, Alabama's usually last in things, but we actually lead in refusing the vaccine. Now, the world system thinks that's crazy. No, thank you. I like my DNA just the way God made it. And I don't want formaldehyde, aluminum, and mercury pumped into my veins. Sorry if I'm like that. You know, I'm sorry. Folks, let me tell you something right now. You think this is foolishness, but Bible says this, that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And if you defile and destroy the temple, God will destroy you. And you're going to sit there and tell me, and listen, Christians, come on now. All of these vaccines, all of them, you hear what I'm saying? All of them. Even the mRNA vaccines are created using aborted baby cell lines. How can any Christian say, I'm pro-life, and then push people to go take a vaccine created from an aborted baby? On that issue alone, we ought to say, no, no, no. We're done with this nonsense. And think about this. I found this out. That when they, some of these vaccines, like the MMR and some of these other vaccines with these fetal cell lines, guess what? Some of them have female cell lines from an aborted baby girl. Some have from aborted baby boy. Well, let me ask you what happens if you put girl DNA in a little boy. Think maybe why we're getting a little confusion? And you think that's by accident? No. None of it's by accident. We live in a crazy world. I mean, when they're wanting to say, hey, oh, and you guys don't know this. UAB, Alabama's premier medical institution, right? They're the ones that have the clinics to encourage the children to get their hormones and start changing and to transgender over. Do you know that UAB fought against the bill to make it illegal to give children hormone therapy and all this other nonsense to help them try to change their sex? UAB. Yeah, I want to listen to them, all right. You know why? It's big money for them. Big money. They don't care about these kids. Who in their right mind thinks it's right to take a little kid who says, I'm confused about this boy and girl thing. Okay, let's shoot you, little boy, full of female hormones for years that cannot be reversed, mind you, before you're old enough to figure out what's going on. We actually have people in Alabama fighting for that. That's mind-blowing that we're even at this point. Those are decisions adults need to make. If they want to be crazy enough to do that, then you're free to do it. Go do it. But do that to kids? That's child abuse. I don't care what you call it. If a parent allows that to happen, that's child abuse. That kid turns 14 and goes, I don't want to be. I'm a boy. I don't want to be a girl. What are we going to do then? I mean, we got little girls now that because of the hormone therapy, they talk like men. Can't fix it. Sounds just like a man. That was child abuse. But guess what? To them, to the world out there, that's not child abuse. If we tell our kids about Jesus and heaven and hell, that's child abuse. Listen, Isaiah said it. The day would come, they will call evil good and good evil. We are there. Say, Pastor Dean, you're depressing me on Mother's Day. I'm sorry. I told y'all I don't do Mother's Day messages, so if you want something about Proverbs 31, or I keep wanting to make it Psalm 31. It's just not going to happen here, so maybe that's why there's some folks that are not here today. They wanted to find a Mother's Day message. No, they wanted to go be with their families. That's fine. It's all about truth, folks. And truth is this word right here. And this word makes the world angry. They hate it. Whether it's the truth about creation or the truth about, you know, we believe in true science. There's true science, there's false science. We believe there's truth. Look, you know, true science made this phone right here, right? Probably fallen angel technology made this phone from what I hear. But still, what I'm saying is true science. You know, science made the plastic and made the glasses. I understand there's true science, but there's also pseudoscience, false science. The Bible calls it science falsely so called. You know, and so we don't adhere to that. We don't believe it. We don't accept that. We don't accept theoretical astrophysics. Theoretical, mind you, astrophysicist. That's somebody who's got a PhD in making up crap. Christians, we believe the word. We follow the word. Every word's important. Every word's to be believed. It's to be known. It's to be obeyed or adhered to. It's not made to just sit in this book and collect dust. And I'll tell you right now, everything in this world system and the lukewarm fallen church world is going to push you in the days ahead to go along with them and to go against this. And you're going to make a decision. Will I follow Jesus according to the Bible? Or will I follow the blind that's leading the blind? Will I serve the Lord in truth and in righteousness? Or will I just allow myself to be deceived and go along to get along? Remember Matthew 10, Jesus said that he did not come to send peace on earth. Matter of fact, put this up. This will be the last thing. We'll close right here. And we didn't start till after 11, so I'm only an hour today. Trying to go short for Mother's Day. See, that's my Mother's Day help right there. We won't go to 1 o'clock today, all right? So y'all can get to lunch and stuff with you. But this right here. Jesus said, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." Now let's stop right there. What is this sword? The Bible says the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, which is the truth. Jesus said, "I did not come to send peace on earth." So Jesus said, "I'm not here to everybody get along. I didn't come to send peace on earth, but a sword." Keep going. "For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughters against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household." Why? Because we water it down? We make it seeker sensitive? No, because the truth cuts through. And most of the world loves their lies. They love it. You're going to love the truth, or you're going to compromise the truth. That's it. That's all you got. So, well, Pastor Dean, that scares me. Well, how will I know if I'm well? That means you better get well acquainted with this. Turn the TV off, turn the phone off or set it down, put down the novels and cheese puffs and pickleball and read the Bible and start. You got to want to know it. Why do you think he said over and over, put this down in you, put the word in you? Let the word, look, I'm even telling you, don't depend on me. You must read it and know it for yourself. Because you know what, the day may come to pass too, that we're separated. They might get me one day. Then what do? You better know it for yourself. You can't depend on a pastor. Yes, that's my job, is to teach you the word of God and to show you stuff that you hadn't found yet. But still, it's up to you to go make sure it's there and it's correct, and you need to know it for yourself. Absolutely must. Because one day they may drag you in front of the judge or the tribunal, and they're gonna talk to you about some things. And then what? Let me call Pastor Dean real quick. No, in the New World Order, you don't get a phone call. Because there are actually people that think they can deny Jesus and still go to heaven. I'm not joking you. There are people that think John MacArthur, grace to you, famous preacher on TV. People love John MacArthur, the Calvinist. I don't know why, but they do. But he said, I have the radio clip of the radio show where he said, you can take the mark of the beast and still go to heaven if you're a Christian. And the Bible couldn't be more clear that if any man takes the mark, he's damned. The smoke of his torment will ascend day and night forever. Fire and brimstone. They'll have no rest. So let me see. I follow John MacArthur or Revelation 13 and 14? See, that's what it's coming down to. Do I follow Baptist preacher or this book? Do I follow the Presbyterian church or this book? Do I follow the lukewarm, backslidden Assembly of God church or this one? And let me tell you, you know, I'm going to say something about that. Some of them are fired up. I know, look, in all these places, I know there's good people. So don't everybody take me out of context, all right? There's good people. But what's dangerous right now is not just what some of them are teaching. It's what some of them are not teaching. It's just as bad to omit things that need to be said, that need to be addressed, especially in a time when they need to be addressed, and to ignore them. And I think a lot of churches may preach some, teach some good things, but they leave out a whole lot of important stuff. And that's what's dangerous. And I know some of them don't know that they don't know. It's sad, but they're supposed to know. Especially if you're a pastor or a leader, you better know. You better know what's going on, and you better be talking about the real issues going on at this time. Because people need to know how the Word of God. But I'm telling you right now, how many of them are saying, hey, you know what? Probably don't need to change our DNA, folks. It's the temple. Probably don't need to alter our DNA. Not many of them. Because you know what? A lot of them work for FEMA. They've completely misconstrued and teach Romans 13 wrong. Never does Romans 13 say we submit to the government in all and every case, in every situation. If that is true, why did the Romans want to kill Peter and James and John, the Roman government, and even the Israeli spiritual leaders, their government? We want to kill these people. Was it because they complied? No. We ought to obey God rather than men. And this is where we are. That's scripture too. Not just Romans 13. In Romans 13, they take completely out of its context. We only submit to the government until they start violating what this says. And this says I'm not supposed to defile my temple. So why am I going to let them pump aluminum and mercury and formaldehyde and some kind of new experimental mRNA technology developed by DARPA? Yeah. No, thank you. You want to be a cyborg? Go for it. Not me. You want to be changed into something other than fully human? Just ask Klaus Schwab. Y'all know who Klaus Schwab is? Yeah. He's the one saying we're gonna no longer be human in the days ahead. Not fully human. Sorry, Klaus. You need to go do a tryout for the next Bond movie, but I'm done with you. Let's stand. Klaus Schwab. He's so evil. You will own nothing, he says, and be happy. You will eat one hamburger a year. That's all the meat you get. The rest, and you will be happy. You will take all of our vaccines and experimental drugs, and you will be happy. Does that not sound like 1984 to you? Yeah. Just to me, too. Let's do one song, and then we'll get out of here. Let's do that Crowder song she did there. And just worship the Lord for a minute. Everybody all right this morning? Happy Mother's Day. While they get that song ready, I'm just going to say this. We got a lot going on this week. I want to please all of you be prayer for us. And those of you who can come, we'd love to have you. Tuesday night, we're going to do the town hall here, the virtual town hall. But we're going to have people here in-house, and we're also going to have people online. So people are going to be able to, I'm going to do a little political speech, and then we're going to let people call in and ask questions, and people in the room can ask questions. So we're going to have that's going to start at 7:30 on Tuesday night. So we'd love for all of you to come that can. That's an invitation to, you know, local folks in Opelika as well, in the area. I mean, and anybody can come. I mean, I think we're going to have some come from North Alabama and South Alabama. So please RSVP to that, though, at the DinoForGovernor.com, the website, so I'll know how many is going to be here, because we got a limit on that. What's that? Yeah, only if you're coming to here, to the building, you have to RSVP. If you're just going to watch online, you don't have to. We have next Saturday in Mobile, we're going to have the Keep Alabama Free Rally. So I know a lot of you are going, but that's going to be at 3 o'clock Central Time in Cathedral Square Park in downtown Mobile. So we'd love for any of you that want to come to that. And Deliverance Conference is now seminar day. Anyway, that's been set up on Eventbrite. We are scheduled now for August 7th and 8th. It's just the 7th, but that Sunday morning we'll actually be at the Marriott Hotel as well, because we're probably going to have too many to be here. Dnodal.org, there's a link to sign up on Eventbrite. The 17th, those of you that can, at 2 p.m., we're going to be in Montgomery on the State House steps doing a press conference and addressing what these clowns didn't do in this legislative session. We're going to address that, and so we'll be there from 2 to 3. That's on Monday the 17th, and I got the permit, so we're going to be there. We have the full approval by the State House people to be on the State House steps. So they're even providing a podium for us and a power cord to hook up our system. And I was like, thank you very much. That's very nice of you. So that's the 17th. So anyway, a lot going on. But if you want to go to the Deliverance Seminar, sign up for that ASAP. And $30 and $15. The reason we're doing that is because we're going to provide we're paying the hotel to provide a buffet for us that day. So, you know, they're never cheap. So it's we don't make a dime off of it. In fact, that's what you almost have to do that now. You have to do food to rent their rooms. It's just it's a thing. So we're not trying to make any money off of it. It's just because of where the Marriott is, there's not a lot of restaurants, and you have to drive a good bit. So we just figured, but you don't have to sign up. I mean, if you sign up and you just want to be there, you don't have to. What? You do? Okay. Well, I was going to say people want to leave and want to drive, you know, 30 minutes away, but no? Okay, we don't have that set up, I'm told, but anyway. Okay, you have to eat Marriott food that day. <There's> All right, well, I love it. Let's do this and we'll get out of here. All right. Let's worship Him. Lord, we thank You. We love You. We thank You for our mothers. We thank You for the truth of Your word. And we worship You right now.
Take my heart, lay it down at the feet of You who's crowned. Take my life, let him go. You're my delight, sweet, my everything. And I will worship you, Lord, only you, Lord. And I will bow down before you, only you, Lord. And I will worship.
Worship you, God. We thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. And we just ask you, Lord, I ask you to bless your people as they go forth from this place. We ask you to strengthen them and lead them and guide them into all truth. I pray that for those watching as well. We thank you. You didn't leave us without the truth of your word. You didn't leave us without your Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us in that truth and teach us. And we're just grateful to you today for the truth. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you know the drill. Hug some necks before you leave.